On Press TV, at least 20 oil tankers in Pakistan en route to NATO troops in Afghanistan are attacked. U.S.-led troops kill more people in Afghanistan as civilian casualties there continue to rise. And in Britain, thousands of people protest their government's economic policies. This is Press TV News. Welcome to the program, everyone. We'll begin this broadcast in Pakistan. Militants in Pakistan have attacked at least 20 tankers filled with fuel for foreign forces in neighboring Afghanistan. Police say the tankers were attacked and set on fire near the Pakistani capital, Islamabad. This is the third such attack since Friday. One of the main routes through Pakistan used by Afghan-bound trucks has been closed for days now, this after U.S.-led NATO forces killed three Pakistani soldiers in a cross-border attack. All right, so let's get the latest from our correspondent, Kamran Yusuf. He joins me on the line from Islamabad. Kamran, what happened?
Well, as you said, that this is the third attack on NATO tankers since Friday, and this latest attack took place near Islamabad, about 30 kilometers from Islamabad, in Rawalpindi. And Rawalpindi, of course, is a very sensitive because it is the headquarters of Pakistan's military, and this latest attack took place about not far away from Pakistan military's headquarters. And the senior police official also confirmed that at least three people have been killed in this latest attack. And according to eyewitnesses, at least nine people, unknown people or militants, attacked the oil tankers when a convoy of about two dozen oil tankers were stopped. So the authorities and the rescue officials right now are trying to put down the fire, but people are saying that the fire is huge, but the rescue officials are trying to extinguish the fire.
And Kamran, this is not the first time it's happening. I think it's the second attack in just a week on these trucks carrying supplies to the NATO forces in Afghanistan. Do you think if they continue, they will have any impact on the operations of foreign forces in Afghanistan?
Certainly, this will have an impact because earlier today, Pakistan Foreign Office spokesman Abdul Basit also commented on this latest wave of attacks on the NATO tankers. And Pakistan, he made a very interesting remark that these latest attacks are actually in reaction to the NATO helicopters border violations near the Afghan border. And this is very significant in this statement, in the sense because earlier allegedly Taliban took the responsibility of earlier two attacks, but the Pakistan Foreign Office is saying that this is the reaction from the Pakistani public. So in a way, Pakistan government also trying to say that if the NATO forces continue attacks in the border areas, the chances are that such attacks would continue, because Pakistan has been saying...
And Kamran, do you think that the NATO forces, the U.S. forces, will get the message and be careful about the attacks that they are carrying across the border from Afghanistan and try and not kill civilians?
Well, certainly military and military officials in Pakistan, and of course the diplomats, are saying that back channels are active right now. There have been contacts between the two military, between the Pakistan and the U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan. And recently, there are reports that both countries have also launched joint investigation. So as far as these NATO attacks are concerned, there is impression here that it may not happen in the future. But as far as the U.S.-led drone attacks are concerned, that would continue. So, but we have to see that how things develop after these attacks, because, as you said, that this is the third attack it is since last week on these NATO tankers, and this could really affect what's happening inside Afghanistan.
Our Kamran Youssef with the latest from Islamabad. Kamran, thank you. Now let's cross the border into Afghanistan. Authorities there have confirmed the deaths of three civilians in a NATO airstrike in the south of the country. Press TV earlier reported on the deadly air raid by the U.S.-led foreign forces there. The strike took place in the restive province of Helmand and claimed three Afghan civilians' lives. NATO claimed its aircraft had carried out the strike after they were called to a ground support mission. Elsewhere, NATO forces killed two civilians in the Eastern Logar province. NATO has described the killings as an accident. The U.S.-led alliance claims its forces only returned fire when they got shot at by Taliban militants. Civilian casualties caused by NATO attacks have been a major source of tension between Afghan President Hamid Karzai and the U.S.-led foreign forces. The attacks have killed large numbers of Afghan civilians since the U.S.-led invasion and occupation of Afghanistan in 2001. Well, Afghanistan has formally called on several foreign security firms to stop operations in the war-torn country. Here is more.
Kabul has banned eight foreign security companies. Earlier this year, the Afghan President Hamid Karzai accused the security companies of running what he called an economic mafia based around crooked contracts.
We have decided in the Afghan government to bring an end to the presence of these security companies who are not only causing corruption in this country, but who are looting and stealing from the Afghan people.
Afghan officials now say their private contractors have been dissolved and disarmed.
I have good news for the Afghan people. The news is that today the Interior Minister announced the dissolution of eight security firms at the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan's Security Council meeting.
There's a familiar name on the list of the firms Afghan authorities have banned. The notorious U.S. contractor Blackwater, currently known as Z. Blackwater, among other firms, has won a fresh five-year contract with Washington. It's been assigned a range of tasks in Afghanistan, including providing security for foreign officials, as well as guarding Western development projects. Last month, two former Blackwater security guards went on trial in the U.S., accused of the murder of two Afghan citizens in a 2009 shooting. But the firm's job is not only related to operations in Afghanistan. It also doubles in the U.S. drone attacks in Pakistan's tribal regions that have claimed large numbers of civilian lives. The firm also gained notoriety in Iraq after its guards opened fire unprovoked and killed many civilians in Baghdad in 2007. Iraqi officials have filed lawsuits against the firm. Many believe the mercenary firms serve as a private army, carrying out operations that the regular armed forces are not allowed to carry out under international law.
You're watching Press TV News. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says the U.S. should apologize to the people of Pakistan and Afghanistan for the crimes it has committed in the region.
بهترین حالت برای اونها اینه که عذرخواهی کنن از ملت‌های منطقه از ملت افغانستان از ملت پاکستان چطور میرن بمبارون میکنن آخه چه جور آدمایین اینا اصلا آدمن بابا اینجا زن و بچه هست مردم هستن براش اصلا مهم نیست اهمیتی نداره
Ahmadinejad also called on U.S. troops to withdraw from the Middle East. The president made the comments during his speech in the Iranian city of Hashtgird. He also called for the arrest of those behind the September 11th attacks. Ahmadinejad said the truth behind 9/11 must come out. The president has accused the U.S. of using September 11th as a pretext to violate the rights of other nations. To Europe, in Britain, thousands of people have come out to demonstrate against the government's austerity measures. Thousands of unionists have gathered outside the Conservative Party conference venue and outside the Prime Minister's office to protest the cuts in public services and jobs. Other demonstrations are also underway in dozens of towns and cities across the country. Protesters believe the cuts will devastate the public sector.
people that have come to this demonstration today are members, by and large, of public sector unions, which recognise that the cuts that are going to be imposed by David Cameron's coalition government are going to devastate the public sector, and they're going to devastate the lives and communities that we serve. I represent public sector workers in Doncaster who work day in and day out to deliver public services to the community in Doncaster. Those people are not to blame for what happened with the banks. They're not to blame for the fact that the deficit spiralled out of control because the government's bailed out the banks. And now we're being asked for those self same people, for some of the poorest people in this country, to pay a massive price.
Well, we're all dreading the government spending review announcement on the 20th of October because we're expecting at least a 25% cut in higher education funding, and that will mean job losses among teachers, library staff, computer staff, administrators, all the people that we represent. And these are the people who are training the next generation of workers in British society, and we don't think that they should be bearing the brunt of the cut. They should be looking first at the people who caused this mess, and that's the bankers.
The protests come after the British Prime Minister David Cameron said that the cuts will not inflict lasting damage on the economy. Cameron has announced that London can cut £44 billion from the public sector budget every year to clear the country's record deficit by 2015. He has also laid the blame for the country's financial mess on the previous government. London is expected to announce the extent of the planned cuts in its comprehensive spending review on October 19. Financial analyst Justin Stewart earlier joined us to tell us more about the possible consequences of the British government's austerity measures.
The problem is that many of these governments have been living beyond their means, and that's fine when the sun was shining and the economy was moving ahead, but unfortunately when the economy turns round and you have a banking crisis, you've still got a lot of expenditure going out, but you don't have enough income. And so I'm afraid it's almost inevitable that these governments, Ireland, Greece especially, in a probably more difficult situation, but smaller economies, are having to make some very difficult decisions, and as we can see from the process, very unpopular ones. Over a period of years in Britain, we had governments that were actually building up base levels of expenditure on social areas, all of which are perfectly acceptable and understandable. However, of course, you can only increase that expenditure if you've got the income to back it up. When the world recession hit and the banking crisis hit, what you actually then found, of course, was that the government income was then being reduced. So the Conservative government's come in as a coalition with another party, and it's their aim to actually reduce this budget deficit over a period of 4 years. But I suspect the cuts, when they come through, over a period of 4 years, will actually be not necessarily all have to be put into place. Because actually, with the period of inflation that we've got at the moment, 3 to 5%, that will actually erode the debt by some £24 billion a year. What the protesters are worried about, and quite rightly, is that the private sector will not be able to pick up what the public sector is doing, and if you cut the public sector, you also affect the private sector as well, and that will mean jobs.
To Latin America now. Polls have closed in Brazil's general elections. Brazilians were voting to elect a successor to President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. More than 130 million people were registered to vote for president and congress members, in addition to state governors and mayors. Lula's former chief of staff, Dilma Rousseff, represents the ruling Workers' Party. She is the hand-picked successor to the outgoing popular president. So she has a chance to win enough votes and avoid a runoff. If elected, 62-year-old Rousseff will be the first woman to lead Latin America's largest country. Lula is constitutionally limited to just 2 terms in office. His 8-year rule is about to end. Our correspondent in Brasilia, Melissa Abalo, tells us more about the election process and the results in Brazil.
There's not been any official word about when the results will be out. Voting closes at 5 p.m. local time here. And given that the electoral process is all electronic, it's expected that the results to come out quite quickly. But given that it is such a huge country, there are almost 140 million voters registered. Results are expected to take a little while. But having said that, because it is electronic, there's a lot of confidence in the voting system, very transparent, and there are a number of international observers coming to make sure that the process goes ahead as smoothly as possible.
Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has blamed the recent unrest in Ecuador on the United States. Chavez says Washington tries to topple South American governments that do not obey it. He added that, quote, other hidden interests were involved in the failed coup attempt. The Venezuelan president also dismissed reports that the Ecuadorian police was the major player in the unrest on Thursday, which left 10 people dead and hundreds injured. Disgruntled Ecuadorian police officers staged a revolt after a government plan to cut their pay. Bosnians are voting in general elections to choose the country's president, which is shared by three ethnic groups. The voters will also elect leaders of two semi-autonomous regions, the Serb Republic and the Muslim Croat Federation, as well as 700 MPs. Since the last vote in 2006, mistrust has deepened between Croat, Serb and Muslim leaders. Analysts say the ability of future Bosnian leaders to carry out reforms will determine whether the country can move closer to EU membership. Bosnia also aspires to join NATO. Officials say some 3 million people are eligible to vote in the elections. First results are expected by midnight. A reminder now of the headlines on Press TV. Pakistani militants torch at least 20 tankers filled with fuel for NATO forces in Afghanistan. U.S.-led foreign troops kill more people in Afghanistan as the civilian death toll continues to rise. And in Britain, thousands of people protest against their government's economic policies. And still to come here on Press TV, the day of open mosques in Germany. Welcome back, everyone. Two Israeli soldiers have been convicted of using a Palestinian child as a human shield during the onslaught on Gaza.